podcast time once again. Glad to be with you today. And our first order of business is going to be to talk about the quiz. So, as I indicated in the email, this is going to be a so-called take-home quiz. So you're already at home, so you're not really taking it home, but you're taking it at home. So I will distribute that on Thursday, this coming Thursday, and it will be due on the following Tuesday. In preparation for that, there's going to be two parts to this quiz. The first is short answer questions involving concepts. And to prepare for that, I would suggest you have a look at page 365 in the text. And take a look, that's the chapter review page. You can look over questions number 1, 3, 4, 5, and 7. 1, 3, 4, 5, and 7 on that page. I make no guarantees that the questions will be exactly like that page, but those are important concepts anyway. You'll also want to review conceptual material from the lectures. If you're smart, you will hone in on things that I tend to repeat over and over and over and over and over as things that might crop up on the test, because I obviously think that they are important. So that'll be the short answer section, and then there will also be a part writing section where you'll be given the outer voices and figured bass and asked to provide the alto and tenor and also the second level. Okay, so look for that in your email box on Thursday. For now, we're going to start with, well, I'll mention that I posted a review of the homework assignment from the last homework assignment that was due on the previous Thursday. So that is posted, the homework from page 243. I work through a solution to that and go over some of the common issues in there. And also by now you should have received an email back with a kind of an overview. But take a look at the overview in conjunction with the solution video that I've posted. I think that should clear up most of your questions. If you have any questions after that, feel free to let me know. The new homework that was due today, page 253, I will review next time in class. That was the part writing involving the submediant or six chord. Today, we're going to start with some in-class analysis. So go ahead and open your in-class analysis PDF, and let's take a look at example 5. Example 5, this is from a Mozart violin sonata. What we're going to do on this, we're going to do example 5 and 6 today. We're not going to spend too much time on these. We're going to pay attention to the six chord and how it is used in terms of those root motion options for the six chord. So if it might be a bridge progression when you go 1 to 6 to 4 or 1 to 6 to 2 6, going down by thirds. Or it might be part of a descending fifth motion where you go 6-2-5, 6-2-5-1. Or it might substitute for the tonic as part of a deceptive progression, or if at a cadence, a deceptive cadence. Or it might be the predominant, the 6-5 motion. Let's take a look at this first example from Mozart.
Thank you.
take a look at that. Identify the six chord, that should be easy to find, and identify how it is used. Okay, here we go. Key of G major. So right away, 1 to 6. Oh, I said I wasn't gonna play Art and Soul. 1 to 6, and then the bass continues down. 1, 6, scale degree 4, but if you'll notice, that's an A minor triad. With a third in the bass. So you have the bass motion by thirds. So the sixth chord is used there as kind of a bridging motion in terms of a descending bass arpeggiation. But the sixth chord also starts a circle of fifths progression, or a progression by descending fifths, 6 to 2 6 to 5 to 1. So the root motion is 6 2 5 1. Or circle of fifths progression, or a descending fifths motion. So our sixth chord kind of has two functions there. Let's now look at example 6. This is from Wagner. These are very expressive examples. Take a look at that one. Find your sixth chord and describe which of the available functions it is fulfilling. Take a look at that. Stop the recording. And now we're back. So hopefully you've done that already on your own. Starting on scale degree 5, and then progressing to 1 in E minor, 4, 5, 7, 6, so 5, 7 to 6, obviously the deceptive motion there. With a half cadence in E minor. So this is a 5 chord, a 5-7 chord with B in the bass, moving to a 6 chord with C in the bass, a deceptive motion. Now let's think about what the second level would look like in this one. I want to call your attention to, if you turn in your text file, to page 352 and look at example 13.7. You might want to stop the recording while you do that. And now we're back. That was so right there in measure 4 of that example, we have the same progression as in this in-class example we just looked at. 5, 7 to 6, but then it moves on to 4. Okay, so we are starting in A major. Then 2. 5, 7. Six. And note in the interior level here, not in the totally second level, but in the, I don't know, 1.5 level, it says T and then PD on measure 3, D on the downbeat of measure 4 with the 5-7, and then T in quotations. You'll notice that was the same second level as in example 13.6, just above that D. And then when it moves to the six, we put the T in quotation. It's like a substituting for the tonic, dominant to a tonic substitute. So we put it in quotations. Now, the thing to notice here in 13.7, in measure 4, 5, 7 to 6 doesn't end the phrase. It kind of then rewinds back to the 4 chord. And then the 2, 7, 5, 1. So notice that we have, if we look at the conclusion of the phrase first, measure 5, predominant, all the way to the second half of measure 6, dominant, and then the last partial measure there, tonic. And so you have an EPM in this one. The 5, 7 to 6 in measure 4, the tonic substitute, or the tonic in quotes, is the tonic of the T, P, D, D, T in quotes, T, P, D, D, T of the embedded phrase model. But all of that, because it's not a cadence, all of that is considered a tonic expansion. Look at the bass. 5, 6. All of that considered tonic expansion. Predominant, dominant, tonic. With that in mind, let's go back to our in-class example. And I got to turn back to it too. So let me consult my notes and see where it is. Aha. T, P, D, T, T in quotes. Because that's 5 moving to 6, but it's not the end of the phrase. So 5 to 6 there is the end of our EPM, is the answer, or the end of our tonic expansion. 4, 5, 6, excuse me, 5, 7, 6 chord, which will be tonic in quotes, end of the EPM, 2 half diminished 7th, predominant. And ending the phrase on dominant, as we do in all half cadences. I hope that made sense. That was more of a detour than I wanted to make, but I hope it was worth your while. We're going to spend the rest of this podcast talking about the step descent in the bass. So a lot of times in corny progressions like that, as well as beautiful pieces of music, we have the bass line descending by step, either by mostly diatonic motion, or by chromatic motion. So let's turn to page 358 and we'll talk about this. Before we look at some examples, I'm going to play you two short examples here and see if you can hear the step descent in the bass in each of these. One is from Ray Charles and the other is from Henry Purcell. Check it out. So Hit the Road Jack and Dido's Lament both use, in a completely different context, these step descent progressions in the bass, as does My Funny Valentine. One of my favorite tunes. So if you read on page 358 there, it says that earlier we've seen how you get from the one to the five chord through ascending motion. We've done a lot of that sort of thing. 1 7 diminished 6, 1 6, 2 6 or 4 and 5. So getting from 1 to 5, ascending. And now we're going to talk about the other way of going from 1 to 5, the descending version in major, although we often hear these in minor. 1 7 6 to 5. Let's take a look at example 1315 from Schütz. So here, F sharp minor, look at the bass. 1 7 or te, do, te, le, sol, like the descending natural minor scale. Step descent in the bass. Why do we call it that? Because it's a descent by steps and it's in the bass. Notice on this one, you start on the one chord. When the F sharp moves to E, did I say this was example 1315? I hope I did. When the bass moves from F sharp down to E, you have a C sharp minor triad, C sharp, E, G sharp. C sharp is scale degree 5. And so that's a 5 chord, but notice it's small Roman numeral 5 because it's minor. And the third is in the bass, so it's 5-6. Lowercase 5-6, that is not a dominant function. We've been saying all along that 5 chords are generally dominant functions, but in this case, notice it's not the leading tone. Not, but in this case, E natural. 5 minor in first inversion, and notice that there's a P in parenthesis there. This is a passing chord between the 1 and the predominant 4-6, which is part of a Phrygian half cadence to 5, 4-6 to 5 in minor, or 5-7 in this case. Notice that it says here where the large print, two types of step descent basses. So it says step descent basses that fall directly from tonic to dominant, goes directly from tonic to the functional dominant of the phrase, might be a half cadence or it might be an authentic cadence. If it goes directly there from the tonic to the functional dominant, that's called a direct step descent bass, a direct step descent bass. When a direct step descent bass is in the minor mode, as I've been playing them, these are called lament basses. Oftentimes throughout history, these types of basses would accompany a melancholy text. And so they came to be called lament basses. So a lament bass is a direct step descent bass in minor. Here's a direct step descent bass in major. That would not be called a lament bass. Down below there, it says at the bottom of that page, Sometimes these step descent basses are repeated throughout a whole piece. And when that happens over and over and over again, we tend to call that an ostinato, or sometimes a ground bass, or even a chaconne. Hit the Road Jack was an example of one of those lament basses, a direct step descent bass in minor. If you look on page 361 in the first indented paragraph there, it says, the second type of step descent bass is characterized by passing through the dominant to reach a predominant on scale degree 4, probably a 4 or a 2-6, and that would be called an indirect step descent bass. If you look at example 1318A, so notice you went through 5 all the way down to 4 before you come back up. Same thing in B. So your second level or functional dominant is not the first time you get to G. You go past it, kind of overshoot it, and then you're coming back up. That's what happened in Dido's Lament. So Dido's Lament would be a indirect step descent bass, not a direct step descent bass. The ones I've been playing so far are mostly diatonic. But remember I said they could also be chromatic. And those can be indirect. Or sometimes direct also. So be on the lookout for both of those. Let's take a look at some voice leading and some other harmonizations. If we look at example 13.17, here still on page 361, here's example A. One of the most common here. So notice that it's one. Again, that minor 5 in first inversion, not a dominant function, it's a passing function. We're going to 4-6 and then coming down to 5. Phrygian half cadence there. There's a good reason why composers chose the 4-6 rather than the 5 a lot of times, and that is to avoid, if you look in example E here, 13.17 E, 6 to 5-7. But in this case, we have parallel fifths between the A flat and E flat in the tenor, and the G in the bass, and the D in the tenor. So in order to avoid that, often we don't use a 6 chord, which would have that E flat, but we use a 4-6 by changing that E flat to an F, as in example A, 4-6 to 5, much more common. I'll play through the rest of these. Here's B. On that one, you go first to 6 and then to the 4-6. And this one. With a 1 and then the so-called passing 7th. 1-4-2. 4-6 and 5. Less common, letter D. 3-6-4. 2 half diminished, 4-3. My goodness. 5 and 1. That's it for the step descent bass. It's a fairly simple concept, and good to know about, good to play around with, especially if you want to play My Funny Valentine. No homework for next time. No homework.